Good morning. Welcome to our worship service today. We're recording this for Sunday, May 3rd. We're glad that you're with us, however you're joining us, and wherever you are at, far and wide, we have people that are joining in on our worship services. So thank you for coming. Thanks to all our helpers here today, piano and sound and video and projection and every part that makes this happen. A couple announcements I have. Most of you know from our church through the prayer chain, I believe, that Elmer Nath had went home to be with the Lord this past Monday. We had his private funeral service, graveside service, on Thursday afternoon. And you can go to the funeral home website. That'd be Upsal Costal Funeral Home in Yankton. You can go to the website there, click on Elmer Nath's picture, which will give you his obituary, and then you should see a spot there where it says memorial video. And the service at the graveside was recorded, and you can watch the service on your computer. Also, the family wanted me to express their thanks for all that had sent Elmer his birthday cards for his 90th birthday, which was just April 13th. That really meant a lot to him. So thank you for doing that. Another announcement, Swan Lake camps. A lot of our youth and children attend there in the summer. They are still planning to have their camps. Some of these earlier ones, they've had to push back and change around a little, but you can go to their website and find out what those changes have been. But they are still planning to hold them, so hopefully a number of you can go to those. I received a text this morning with a picture of a sign on it that I thought was pretty good. It said this: since 500 people can be in Home Depot at one time, today's services will be held in the plumbing section. I thought, you know, 500 people can be in there, and we'll see. Our city council, Menno City Council, meets Monday night. I'm hopeful that they will lift the 10 limit restriction that we have. Maybe we can have church next Sunday, but we will have to see, and we'll let you know via the prayer chains and the website. And if we do, I'll just say this up front, if we do and you want to wear a mask, that's perfectly fine. Certainly we'll try and we will spread out in the sanctuary as much as we can when that day happens that we can get back together. So we will let you know, and we continue to pray in that regard. The last thing I wanted to say was just a reminder. Hopefully most of you have been able to watch the special service that we recorded last Sunday afternoon. It's on YouTube and the website both, and it's called A Service of Scripture, Praise and Prayer. That's what it would look like, what you would click on. So thank you. And we're going to sing a praise song here, number 131, Your Name.
As morning dawns and evening fades, you inspire songs of praise that rise from earth to touch your heart and glorify your name. Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nations sing it louder, 'cause nothing has the power to save but your name. Jesus, in your name we pray, come and fill our hearts today. Lord, give the strength to live for you and glorify your name. Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nations sing it louder, 'cause nothing has the power to save. Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nations sing it louder, 'cause nothing has the power to save. Your name, your name.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, you said all authority on heaven and earth has been given unto you. And you told the church, now go and make disciples in all nations. And so we go in your name, Jesus. The beautiful name of Jesus, the name at which every knee must bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And so we gather in this sanctuary in the mighty, majestic name of Jesus Christ, our King and our Lord. And Father, as we do, we thank you for filling us with the Holy Spirit of God afresh today and every day. Thank you for filling this sanctuary with your glory as we worship you, as we sing of your mighty power, Heavenly Father, as you are the maker of the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is therein. And so we are excited to be here in your presence once again, worshiping you in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. And so our opening hymn will be number 128, I Sing the Mighty Power of God. Let's stand, please. I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise, that spread the flowing seas abroad and built the lofty skies. I sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule the day. The moon shines full at his command and all the stars obey. I sing the goodness of Lord, how thy wonders are displayed wherever my eye. If I survey the ground I tread or gaze upon the sky, there's not a plant or flower below that makes thy glory star. Then clouds arise and tempests blow by order from thy throne, while all that borrows life from thee is ever in thy care. And everywhere that man can be, thou God art present there. Amen. Thank you. I will have the sharing of joys and concerns. Sorry, we had a battery that went dead, I believe, on a microphone there. Technical difficulties. Some joys and concerns here. that I have. Certainly, we want to remember the family of Elmer Nath in our prayers, as I mentioned before. Also, on Friday, May 1st, we had a private wedding ceremony, Tyson Haas and Becca Broders. Becca is from Bloomfield, Nebraska, but is a nurse in Sioux Falls. They were married on May 1st, so Tyson and Becca Haas, congratulations to them and their families. Austin and Mandy Herbolt. Mandy gave birth to a little baby boy on this last Monday. His name is Cooper Henry Herbolt. He weighs 7 pounds and 9 ounces, so congratulations to them. Certainly, we want to continue praying in regard to the pandemic that we're in and all that are involved in that. So let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Thank you, Father, that you hear our prayers. You hear every one of them as we lift them before your throne. We have joys, Lord, joys of a wedding on Friday of Tyson and Becca Haas. We thank you for blessing their lives and their marriage. The joy of a new baby boy being born to Austin and Mandy Herbolt. We thank you for Cooper, little Cooper Henry Herbolt. And thank you for a healthy, strong little boy and your blessing upon their family and home. Father, we lift up the family of Elmer Nath as he went home to be with you just this last Monday. We thank you for his love for you, all of the 90 years that you gave him on this earth. Be with his family. We ask that you comfort them by the power of your Spirit, in Jesus' name. Lord, as we're still in the midst of this pandemic, we pray. We pray for the doctors and nurses, the health care givers across our nation and even beyond who serve on the front lines of this battle. Keep them safe. We pray for the families who have loved ones who have lost their lives to this. Comfort them. And those who are in hospitals right now and on ventilators, they need your healing touch. Lord, for our president and vice president, for our governor, Kristi Noem, we lift them up, our congressmen and women. Guide them, Lord, as they are making critical decisions regarding opening things, when to do it and when not to do it. And Lord, we pray for healing to our nation. We pray for revival to our nation. Lord, the outpouring of your Spirit upon us, changing hearts. Father, that we would not be so bent on blaming this one and that one and all the nonsense as it goes, but that we would be earnest in seeking you for prayer, for healing from this pandemic, and more than that, healing spiritually to our nation. Thank you for our troops, some guard troops that have been activated and called to serve around the nation, for all those that are serving around the world. We ask your protection upon them, and thank you for all of these things, Lord, for the beautiful weather you've been giving us, allowing the farmers to get into the fields. We trust you in for the right amount of moisture to come at the right times for the crops as they need to grow. Lord, for those that have cattle and hogs and various livestock, help the situations to improve in our meatpacking plants that they can continue to operate as well. There's so much to lift before you. Many needs for people that are viewing this service. You know, Lord, in every home, you know each person by name and what they might need, whether it is a spiritual need in their lives, whether it is an emotional need, a need of encouragement. I pray that you would lift their hearts and minds today. Whether it is a physical healing or a financial need, Father, whatever it might be, touch their lives. For you are faithful, we know that, and we praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to read from James chapter 5, verse 16, out of the Amplified Bible. It says this about prayer. It says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed and restored. For the heartfelt prayer of a righteous man or a believer can accomplish much. It is dynamic and can have tremendous power. Amen. And so it does. We're going to sing the Lord's Prayer this morning in place of the doxology. So if you'd like to stand and join us, that would be great.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. To you be all the glory. Lord, as this is our time where we receive our tithes and offerings, I thank you for the many from the congregation who have sent their offering and tithes in or dropped them by the church. Thank you, Lord. Bless these gifts. Multiply them for the work of your kingdom. Lord, for their faithfulness in giving of the congregation and people even beyond. We give, Lord, to you. We're not just dropping money in a plate or sending it in the mail, but we are sowing it into your kingdom as you tell us to do, to bring the tithe into the storehouse. And as we're in this season of sowing, Lord, seed time, that's where we're at. And we plant the natural seed in the ground and we see it produce and bring forth a harvest. So it is, Lord. We bring our offerings here. We sow them into your kingdom. Help us to realize that, Lord, as the body of Christ, that we give by faith. And we give joyfully and cheerfully. So, Lord, we ask that you would receive these gifts today in Jesus' name. And, Father, we confess our faith together now through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the one holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Anna's going to come for the Kingdom Kids time here this morning.
Well, good morning, boys and girls. It's so good to be here today. And you know what? I am just a little bit excited today. Do you know why? Well, because I am hoping and praying that soon, very soon, we're going to get to see your faces in here. And we are excited about that. So, in the meantime, what have we been studying about? What are we studying here? You're right, the armor of God. And do you remember last Sunday I challenged you to memorize Ephesians 6:10? All right, let's say it together. Ready? Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Your translation might say, in His mighty power. It's the same. Essentially, the message is the same. We need to be strong in the Lord. You know, our armor protects us and helps us to make right decisions. It protects us from the enemy, because as we find out, as we read, boys and girls, we are in a battle. Did you know that? Yes, you do. Well, in here, it tells us right here, for our struggle, verse 11, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. So see, sometimes we think it's like this, though. I did not tell Justin that I was going to be zooming in on my little army men. This army man's dressed in dark green, and this one's dressed in black. So our battle is not against each other in a battle, seeing who has the biggest gun, you know, and they're fighting. And, you know, it depends on who's got the best strategy or who's got the better weapons that determines who's going to win. No, our weapon is not that way. Our weapon right here is struggle. It's not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So that's where our battle is. It's a spiritual battle. So our first piece of armor that we talked about, do you remember what it was? You're right. It was the belt of truth. And for a soldier, the belt of truth, his belt, also held up other parts of his armor. Like it held the shield, or that's not what it's called, where he put his sword. It held that. The what? Sheath? There we go, sheath. There we go. I got the thumbs up in the back. It held that. But not only that, it held it for any loose clothing or leather things that were hanging, they would put this up and tuck it into their belt before they went into battle so they weren't tripped up. Boys and girls, you and I need to put on our belt of truth. And that belt of truth is the Bible. That's right. So when the enemy comes and he tries to tell us things that are negative, things that are not in line with the Word of God, fills our mind with temptations, wants us to do things that are not right, we put on our belt of truth. What was our next piece of armor that we talked about? That's right, we talked about the helmet of salvation. Now, when the soldier puts this helmet on, you know, the helmet protects his most important part, his brain, because that controls his body. And if he would get attacked and hit in his head, all the way to his skull, into his brain, he would die. So it protected the most important part of the soldier. For us, boys and girls, we read that we put on the helmet of salvation. And for us, that is the number one thing, salvation. Remembering that we did not save ourselves. We did not wash away our sins. We cannot save ourselves, only Jesus. God gave us Jesus, and He's the one that did it. So when we have things come against our mind that we're not loved or we're not in the family of God, boys and girls, we put on our helmet of salvation, and we remember, we are saved. Just put that over there from now. Our next piece, do you remember what we talked about? That's right, the breastplate of righteousness. Now we know that with a soldier, this breastplate protected all of his vital organs all the way from his up to his chest, even up to the under his neck, all the way down to his thighs. And yes, you're right. We talked about it covering, protecting his heart, his liver, kidneys, all the important parts in there. Because if they that would get struck, he could die. So we're told in the Word of God, put on the breastplate of righteousness. When we put on that breastplate of righteousness, it reminds us, one, we are bought with a price. Jesus Christ, he made us be able to stand in front of God, right, rightful. The other thing is that we do our best to act right. We do the things we know should be done. You know, we have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. So he tells us, he reminds us, that nudge, don't do that, do this, comes from the Holy Spirit. And we, and like I said before, if we have any question about whether we're doing the right thing or whether we should do this thing or that thing, we need to remember, WWJD. What did that stand for? What would Jesus do? If we say that to ourselves, that will help guide us. All right, so today we're going to talk about the shoes of peace. It tells us, let me go back up here, put on your full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you'll be able to stand. Stand firm with a belt of truth around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place. And verse 13, is it 13? Oh, 15. And with your feet fitted with a readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Now, when our soldier is going into battle, oh, where did I put my picture? Right here. His feet were covered like with two parts. Part of it was more of like a boot part that covered part of his shin down there, and the other part were these sandal-like boots, and I don't know if you can see that either, but underneath these were hobnails, and those were pieces of metal attached to the bottom underneath his shoe so that he could stand firm when he was in battle. So he just wouldn't get knocked right over with the first blow that came to him. It would secure him standing. And bring it down to what we do today. These are some softball shoes that I got to borrow. And check out, they're really cool looking, nice, have never been worn, I've heard. Check out what's underneath them. Cleats. Now, don't you think these would hurt if they stepped on your bare toes? Yes, they would. And likewise, when the person's playing softball, it holds them. It holds them so that they can get their footing, so that they can have a strong stand when they're playing softball. So what does that tell us about what we need to do? Well, it says, put on the shoes of peace, the gospel of peace. So what is the gospel? The gospel of peace tells us the good news, boys and girls. The good news that God loved us so much that he sent Jesus to die for us. That we don't have to go through our life without having that peace. We don't have to go through angry all the time. We don't have to go through disappointed all the time. We don't have to go through like we have no hope. Our hope is in Jesus. That's the gospel. So God wants us to be walking with our shoes and telling others. As Mike even mentioned in a prayer or a scripture earlier in Matthew, Jesus tells the disciples and his followers, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And that's what he wants us to do, to go around and tell others that God loves them. Tell them that God erased the sin that once kept us from God, from him, or the Jesus through Jesus. And when we walk through our trials in our lives, whatever you're facing today, whatever your family's facing, we can know we put on our shoes of the gospel of peace and we can be secure. So let's get our armor on, boys and girls, because you know what? We are in a battle. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for giving us your son, Jesus, for giving us the pieces of armor, for giving us your word so that we can go out and stand when we are being attacked by the devil. And we can go forth and preach your word to others. I pray this week that you put people on all of our hearts that may not know you. For the children, it may be a classmate or a distant cousin or somebody that doesn't know you as their Lord. Help us to go and tell them the good news. Bless them wherever they are. Let their light shine for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And boys and girls, I wanted to tell you too, we've been having packets that have to do all with the armor of God, and your sheets out for you every week if you'd like to do those. I know you've been swamped with a lot of packets with schoolwork, but now I hear it's over. So we've got materials if you would like them.
Thank you, Anne. We're going to sing Fairest Lord Jesus, number 87, from the hymnal. In prayer, please, once more. Father, we do thank you again for Jesus, our Savior, our beautiful Savior, Lord of the nations, as we just sang. And you are, Jesus, you are Lord of the nations. You are the hope of the nations. You are the Son of God and the Son of Man. And we give you glory and honor and praise and adoration now and forevermore. Thank you for your word that we get to look into at this point. Your word, the living word of God. We treasure your word, Lord Jesus. We look forward to when we gather together to look into it. We enjoy in our own homes, our own devotional times as we look into your word, one-on-one, fellowshipping with you. But for this time, Lord, I thank you. As your word speaks to us, and I ask that you would speak through me by your Spirit to those gathered here, to those listening in their own homes. Thank you for the anointing upon your word. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been in the book of Daniel, and we will be in chapter 6 this morning. We were in chapter 1, we were in chapter 2, going to chapter 6. You know, it would take, I would imagine, at least a full year to go through the book of Daniel piece by piece. On Sunday mornings it would. So that's why it's so important to get involved in Sunday school classes. We have two of them here at church, adult ones. We have children, of course, or Bible studies, or extra during the week where you can really dig in to this deeper. There's so much in the book of Daniel. So this is a time when Darius is now king over in Babylon. And Daniel is very high in the kingdom, as we know. There's other high-up rulers that are jealous of him. And so they're trying to trap him. So I'm going to start in verse 6 of Daniel chapter 6. So the administrators and the satraps went as a group to the king and said, O King Darius, live forever. The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or man during the next 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, O king, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered, in accordance with the laws of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be annulled. So King Darius put the decree in writing. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days anyone who prays to any god or man except to you, O king, would be thrown into the lion's den? The king answered, The decree stands in accordance with the laws of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be annulled. Then they said to the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or to the decree you put in writing. He still prays three times a day. When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. Then the men went as a group to the king and said to him, Remember, O king, that according to the law of the Medes and Persians, no decree or edict that the king issues can be changed. So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you. A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions? Daniel answered, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done any wrong before you, O king. The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. At the king's command, the men who had falsely accused Daniel were brought in and thrown into the lion's den, along with their wives and children. And before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. Amen. Wow. And so it is. We know that story well. So, just a quick review as we've been, this is the third Sunday, we've talked about Daniel. He was living in a very ungodly time in his own country of Judah. Remember, they were hauled off to exile 700 miles away, and that's as the crow flies, so longer than that, very likely. taken to Babylon, a very foreign, ungodly culture. But number one, we looked at the fact that Daniel had his mind made up. He was going to honor God according to the word of God of the Old Testament with his diet, with his worship, and every other part of his life. His mind was made up. Secondly, last week we began talking about his prayer life. He was a man who was committed to prayer. When we are committed to prayer and we run into hard times, it's just a natural response that we say, you know what, let's stop, let's go to prayer. Not, what do we do? And finally, as a last resort, oh, let's pray. No, we do it first. We saw last week that in the second chapter, when the king, that was Nebuchadnezzar, had these dreams that were troubling him, he wanted his astrologers and wise men not only to interpret the dream, but to tell him the dream and then interpret it. None of them could. The king was going to put them all to death. The orders go to Daniel, and we see what did Daniel do. He went to his Hebrew friends and said, I want you to plead for mercy to the God of heaven. In other words, go to prayer. Go to prayer. And they did, and God answered them instantly. Now, God, a lot of times we have to wait quite a while for answers to prayer, don't we? I want to share a quick example here that I think fits with this. And this was back in December of just last year when Louis Fierst, a lot of you know Louis and Judy from our church, and Louis was dying. It was actually December the 15th. It was a Sunday. And so Judy had been with him in the care center most of the day. Their son Toby and I think a grandson were there as well, coming around supper time. And the nurses were saying to the family, you know, why don't you go home, take a break. He's going to be okay yet, you know. And so Toby and his son went back to the house to have some supper. Judy did not want to go. She wanted to be there when he passed. But one of the nurses kept insisting, telling her, well, Judy, you need to get your rest too. We know how that goes. The nurse even said, well, what would Louis want you to do? Well, yeah, I suppose he'd want me to get my rest. Okay. Reluctantly, she put her coat on, told him goodbye, starts walking down the hallway out of Majestic Bluffs, gets about halfway down, she said, and all of a sudden she just stopped and said to herself, I cannot do this. I cannot do this. Turned around, but went back in the room, put her coat off on the chair, went up to Louis, held his hand, put her hand, other hand on his cheek, and just started praying for him. Lord, please, I release him to you. If it's time, let him go. And to Louis, she said, Louis, it's okay. You can go home. Now, he had been breathing just real shallow, very peacefully. If you've ever been with someone at this time, you know how this goes. Very shallow breathing. Almost as soon as she got done praying for him and saying that to him, she said, he took two big breaths. And that was it. And off he went to heaven. And that was just, I was blessed when Judy shared that to me. You can ask her more when you see her. She can share it better. But God knew that Judy wanted to be there with her husband of 61 years when he took that last breath. And he allowed that to happen for her. What a blessing for that to be. See, it was the Holy Spirit. She said, I'm not sure why I just stopped out there in the hallway like that. I said, Judy, that was the Holy Spirit just arresting you, so to speak, and saying, no, go back in there. And she followed. And so today we're going to pick up on this third point of the outline where Daniel was very systematic in prayer. He followed regular prayer times. The Bible tells us that. Now, as I talk about this being systematic in prayer, I also want to say we have to be led by the Holy Spirit of God. We don't want to just get into a ritual of prayer where you know, we just read prayers. Now, if that's where you're at and a starting point, then that's fine. But prayers should also be spontaneous, right? Not just, as some people call them, canned prayers that are written out for us. Let it flow from your heart by the Spirit of God. But in this sixth chapter, as I said, now Darius is the king over there in Babylon. And he's tricked into making this law that anyone who prays to any other man or God, false gods or whatever, in the next 30 days was going to be thrown in the lion's den. They could only pray to the king. Isn't that crazy? But I told you when we started this, these kings of these ungodly nations, they many times saw themselves as a god. And so these other leaders, in trying to trap Daniel, they appeal to Darius's ego. Oh, yeah, I think that's good. Right, I am a god, so yeah, pray to me. Well, you know what Daniel does? We read the account. When he heard the decree, he goes home as he always did, it says. He went up to that room, which was his prayer room. It was not a hidden room. These people knew it. He went up there. It says the windows faced towards Jerusalem. And he knelt down and prayed and worshiped God as he had always done, three times a day. Very systematic, dedicated, committed to his prayer time. When the ruling came, he didn't go hide. Oh, I don't want to be thrown in the lion's den. I'm sure he didn't. But he did not hide. He was not scared. He was very bold about it. And you know the story. They went and told on him because the king had spoken, given the order. He had to be thrown in the lion's den. The king, Darius, loved Daniel. He was very distressed. We're told he didn't even sleep all night. Before he was thrown in that lion's den, what he says, "May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you." And that was the first thing he said in the morning when he came. "Daniel, servant of the Most High God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you?" Boy, I bet he was happy to hear that voice. "O king, live forever." Yes. Wow, they had a time of rejoicing. And Darius realized that if we'd go on, he gave glory to the God of heaven. And those others that trapped him, we know they were thrown into that den and just chewed up instantly because those lions were hungry. Now this Daniel would have been near 80 years old when we come to this point in his life in Daniel chapter 6. Three times a day. What about in the New Testament when we think about being systematic in our prayers, regular in our prayer times? Acts chapter 3, this was the early church just very shortly after the day of Pentecost. Peter and John, they're going to the temple. When? It says at the time of prayer. And then it even says at 3 in the afternoon. See, the Jews had three times of prayer that they observed through the Old Testament anyway. 9 in the morning, 3 in the afternoon, and at sunset. Three times. So Peter and John were following that. Even as the church began, go into the temple, 3 in the afternoon. Of course, that's when that crippled man gets healed. That's another account. How about in Acts chapter 12? This is a time when Herod the king had arrested James, the brother of John. James, one of the 12 disciples, had him arrested, put to death with the sword. It pleased the people so much, he arrested Peter, threw him in jail. What was the plan for Peter the next day or two after? To be put to death. But what does it say, this verse, Acts chapter 12, verse 5? So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying for him. What? What they gathered together and went to prayer. And when serious times come, that's what we need to do. That's part of why we had that special service last Sunday afternoon that we recorded. I hope you watched that. If you have not, it was a powerful time. Serious times call for special times of prayer. I think back to this local church, 2005. We came, started May 1st of 2004. end of April, this April, we just finished our 16th year here, starting our 17th. Praise the Lord. It's been wonderful. It really has. But we come to 2005 of July, and that was when the United Church of Christ that we used to be a part of makes this grand ruling, they thought, on July 4th of all things, to endorse same-sex marriage across our nation. And many of you were here at that time. I said the next Sunday after, when is enough enough as far as violating God's word? We came to the end of July. I will never forget this. That Sunday morning, whatever the day was, I don't know, but it was near the end of July. I said, we are going to have a special prayer service tonight at probably 7 o'clock, I imagine. Please come. We're not coming to discuss anything of this. We're coming to pray and seek God. And honestly, between Ann and I, and I thought, what, we'll be doing good if we have 30 people here on a Sunday night in July. There was over 100 that came from the congregation. And we set our hearts to seek the Lord and His will for our life, the life of this congregation. That was a very pivotal time, I believe, in the life of this church. And thank God for that prayer meeting and others we've had since. And then it led to January when we left that denomination and came into the Four Seas where we are today, which has been a wonderful fit. But prayer, we have to be systematic in it, in our lives, praying with your children, praying with your spouse. Well, I know, Pastor Mike, it just gets so busy. I know it. I know it does. But you got to make time, just like you make time for your Sunday morning worship together coming, so you talk about it and you make a time between husband and wife or family. How is this going to work? When can we do it the most regularly? For Ann and I, it's in the mornings before I head over to church or she goes on her way. And it's taken in our early years when we started it. Yeah, we missed a lot. But over the years, it's just without question, mostly sitting on the couch, holding hands. Sometimes it's as she's putting on her makeup and I'm brushing my teeth or whatever. We make it work, but we do it. It is important. Why is our prayer times interrupted? Because of threat of death? Have you ever been threatened to be thrown into the lion's den if you're going to be praying? No, never. School, even at school, the kids can pray, right? The teachers, the adults can't initiate it, which is very unfortunate. But the kids can, and they do. I've seen many examples of it right here in our school. No, what keeps us from it? The busyness of life, pressures of our schedules, maybe being intimidated about praying out loud. Boy, with your spouse, we should be able to do that, right? Okay, fourth here, I want to touch on a little bit this last point today. The spiritual warfare in prayer. Spiritual warfare in prayer. And Ann touched on it this morning with her soldiers and the armor of God. See, there is a battle. We are in a battle. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it says this, though we live in this world, we do not wage war as the world does. It's not with guns and tanks and cannons and bombs and all of that. No, it says the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, what? They have divine power to demolish strongholds. We are in a battle. Ephesians 6:10, what Anne's been focusing on with the armor of God, clearly tells us we are in a spiritual battle. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Put on the full armor of God. Listen, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not. So many times we see that, and we don't get our focus in the realm of the Spirit and this battle that we as Christians are in on this planet against the forces of darkness. Satan And the powers of darkness are trying to destroy this nation. We are in a battle, a spiritual civil war, I would almost call it, for the life of this nation. The devil hates the foundation of this nation upon God's word. He hates it that in our Pledge of Allegiance, we have the phrase in there, one nation under God. That's why you have groups of people fighting to take that out. He hates it that our currency still has, in God we trust. And that's why people try to remove that from our currency. He despises that. That's why we have to be strong in our prayer times and stand firm praying for our nation, our leaders, no matter who they are, praying for our state, praying for our families as a whole, praying for our local church. See, in Daniel chapter 10, 11 and 12, here again is three chapters that just flow together that you just have to dig into in a Bible study to really get it all, because there's so much in there. But here, Cyrus is now king, the last king that Daniel served under over these 70 years of captivity. And Daniel is seeking the Lord. It says he fasted and prayed for 3 weeks. 3 weeks, the Bible says. Because God is wanting to show him something else in a vision. Daniel 10, let me read this. At that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips. I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over. And then there's a point after that, as you read on, where most likely it was Gabriel, the messenger angel. Do you know in Daniel is where we are first told the names of Gabriel and Michael, those two angels? First place we see them in Scripture is right there. So Gabriel comes, and I want to read part of this. He says, "Do not be afraid, Daniel, for since the first day you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before God." In other words, what? Since the first day you started praying about this, Daniel, your words were heard. That's important to know. So often when we're praying about something and we're not hearing an answer, we're not hearing, we think God is not hearing us. He's hearing you. This clearly says, from the first day your words were heard, and I, Gabriel, most likely, have come in response. But listen to this. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Now that is a high-ranking demonic spirit. That is, there is battle going on in the realm of the spirit between Gabriel, the messenger angel, who's trying to come to Daniel with the answer to that prayer, and this satanic being is resisting. There is warfare going on in heaven. And what does the next verse say? It says, then Michael, the archangel, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. And now I, Gabriel says, have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come. Let me just say this. There's so much in it, those chapters. Why was Satan so intent on keeping that vision from the prophet Daniel? Because if you'd read it out, it contains from the when Daniel was living to the next 550 years, the kingdoms that would rule until and through the birth of Christ. It prophesies about the birth of Christ, and it goes on to prophesy about the second coming of Christ, of which we are still waiting for today. No wonder Satan was so intent to try and keep that from happening. So we have to pray. We have to realize that prayer is not just all la-di-da, okay? There are times where you in your prayer are saying and should be saying, in the name of Jesus Christ, Satan, you have no right or place or authority in my life. Satan, you and your powers of darkness have no place in the life of my family. You are not going to destroy my son, my daughter. Maybe they've gone off on a wayward route. No, I pray the blood of Jesus over them. And Father, I ask for the Spirit of God to work in them and draw them back to you. We pray that way over our church. See, the devil likes to get into local congregations, doesn't he? Likes to cause division, stir up strife. That's from the enemy. We have to pray over our church congregation. We pray over our state and our nation regularly because we are in a battle. And God wins. So be earnest in prayer. Always, not just through this pandemic time, but always. Let me just close with this. See, Daniel, he was high in the government of Babylon through four different government administrations. That's not the exact word I'm looking for, but you know what I mean. Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, Darius, and Cyrus. They all had different ideas. Sort of like today, isn't it? You know what? Daniel learned how to take that in stride. He didn't compromise his convictions. He served faithfully, right? Because he knew God was sovereign and God had a plan he was going to fulfill. And God has a plan for the United States of America that he is going to fulfill. Now, yes, we have to pray. Yes, we have to do our part politically. We have to vote. Let me sidetrack here. So most of you probably have got in the mail your request for an absentee ballot, right? Yeah? I hope you fill that out and send it back in. We did. We already got our ballot for the primary elections to vote because we don't know if we'll be able to get to the polling places. So do it. How much easier can it be than that? Don't just throw it off. Eh. All you have to do is make a copy of your driver's license, fill out the thing, stick it in there. The postage is on it, and it comes to you. The postage is on the ballot to mail it back. Hello? If we cannot do that, we got a problem. This is a privilege that we enjoy in our nation, a freedom that has been fought for. So don't, you know, yeah, we get frustrated with what goes on in Washington, certainly. But that does not mean we just say, forget it, I'm not going to vote. No, we need to do that. It's important. Pray. That was my soapbox there. Deuteronomy 33 says, there is no one like the God of Israel who rides on the heavens to help you and on the clouds in his majesty. For the eternal God is your refuge and underneath are the everlasting arms. Let's pray. Father, thank you that what a privilege we can talk to you just as we talk to one another in prayer. And you hear every word that we say. And according to your will and purposes and plans, you answer. Not according to our thoughts, but according to your will. And we thank you for that. That we can rest in you, in your everlasting arms. Bless all those that are watching. I ask you to bless their week, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. We will sing our closing hymn, and we're also going to sing God Bless America again. But let's stand as we sing Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, number 575.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, 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 leaning. to fear, leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. From all alarms, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Amen. Please receive the benediction. And now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. We will sing as a prayer for our nation, God Bless America.
America, land that I love, stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with foam, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, land that I love, stand beside her night with a light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with foam, God bless America, my home.
Thank you for joining in with us today. We'll keep you posted about next Sunday, which would be Mother's Day. Thank you. Have a wonderful day.